Amen. Thank you for that reminder. You can depend on Jesus. I always have this in my heart and mind on every service, and that is I want to see folks get help when they come to the house of the Lord. It may be in the song, it may be in the prayer time, it may be in the preaching, but I believe there's help to be had tonight. We're drawn to a close in our Bible study on the first epistle of John, the Apostle John. Tonight, I'm only going to cover three verses, and I'm not going to have you stand. You can, since it's a Bible study, you can remain seated, but I wanted to read those three verses before we got into the material this evening. I also want to encourage you, if you have questions as we about the material that we're covering, if you have questions as we're covering it, if you'll text me, we'll look at those questions at the end of teaching. And last Wednesday night, we had some really good questions, some really interesting questions. Amen. Before we read, before we get into this, let's pause and pray for the word tonight. Lord, your word is an encouragement to us. Lord, your word is a living thing. Lord, you know every need of every heart in this place. And I pray that your eternal word would go forth with power tonight. Lord, you know how to speak to us. You know how to speak to the innermost person. Lord, I pray that eternal works would be worked in hearts, Lord, during the very presentation of your word, that just something would transpire, Lord, within. God, I pray for your anointing upon me to teach and anointing upon ears to receive. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses we're going to read are found in chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read verses 13, 14, and 15. And I'm going to tell you this section, this remaining section, we won't cover all of it tonight of 1 John, is about assurances. Assurances that we as believers can have. Or John uses the word confidence. There's some confidences that we can have. We like to sing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And I want you to leave tonight being reaffirmed that there are some things you can be assured of. We're going to look at two of those tonight. So verse 13, the author said, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, and this is the confidence or the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. I want to entitle this tonight, You Can Know That You Know. You can know that you know. Last Saturday, and I shared an illustration of this on Sunday, but I was listening to a DVD of black gospel singers, and some of those, especially the old-timers, they would really get worked up in their singing. And one of them paused. He began to testify about his salvation. And he just, all of a sudden, he just said, I'm so glad that I know 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 that I'm saved. You see, when he did that, now you can say that's just a bunch of rhetoric or we need to get philosophical about how does he know that he know. But when he said that, he was doing more than describing a fact in his head. He was describing an experience in his heart. And I'll tell you what he was experiencing when he said that. He was experiencing assurance. He was experiencing a confidence that he was really saved. Hallelujah. How many knows that God wants us to experience an assurance that we are saved? I got to thinking about that, though. You know, He said that with joy and enthusiasm and excitement because he was feeling assurance. And I thought, now think about that. That's really only truly possible with Christians. I mean, can you imagine an atheist? Can you imagine him having the opportunity and taking the microphone and saying, Woo! I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm an atheist. I know that 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 there's not a God. See, there's a difference between just a fact in the head that you know and something you know from experience. Only Christianity can offer that kind of assurance. I want to tell you, that's the kind of salvation that God wants us to have, one that comes with an assurance. You see, what we believe isn't just true to reality. What we believe has a powerful, uplifting effect upon our hearts and lives. We know what we know gives us a feeling of this assurance. And this is the wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can not only be saved, but we can know that we're saved. So I'm going to cover two of these assurances tonight. First of all is the one I've been emphasizing, the assurance of being saved. The assurance of being saved. Look what it says in verse 13. I really want us to think about these things. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. In other words, this whole epistle, John said, I've been writing this so that you can know you have eternal life. Now I want you to think about this. If he has to write to believers with the purpose that they can know they're saved, there's only one conclusion you can draw. Some of them must have been doubting. See? It's kind of like when Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Why did he say that? Why did he say, let us not be weary in well-doing? Because we do what? We get weary in well-doing. So when the Apostle John said, these things have I written, so you can have assurance and know you're saved, that means that sometimes as Christians, we have doubts. We wonder about our salvation. Notice how he puts that. He never says they're not saved because he said, ye that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's saved folk. You do believe on the name of the Son of God, but I've written that you can know you have eternal life. You see, salvation, get this, salvation and the assurance of salvation are two different things. Folks need to be saved. Yes, sir. But once saved, folks need an assurance of salvation. I believe God wants everybody that's saved to have an assurance of their salvation. You know, here's the thing. It's only with the assurance of salvation that you truly enjoy salvation. Let me get that straight. You'll never enjoy your salvation if you don't have the assurance of it. And there's a little another thing here that's so important. If you don't have an assurance of salvation, you'll never grow in your salvation. See how important assurance is? It gives you the joy of salvation. It gives you growth. You know, I've asked folks before, are you saved? And I always hate to hear this. Have you ever done this? Have you ever asked somebody, are you saved? And they say, I think so. Or maybe they say, I hope so. No assurance. Did you know never has that kind of expression, I think so, I know so, never has that come from somebody that's growing in Christ. Never has that come from somebody that has a joy. Because you see, you can't think so or hope so and grow and enjoy this. And I'm so glad what John is saying, one doesn't have to think that he's saved. One doesn't have to hope that he's saved. One doesn't have to wish that he were saved. One doesn't even have to doubt whether or not he's saved. John says, one can know that he is saved. I've written that you may know you have eternal life. And I want to briefly visit that because John wrote this epistle giving these tests that we've talked about Wednesday night after Wednesday night. He gave these tests not to cause believers to doubt. He gave the tests so believers could be assured. I know these tests revealed who the false teachers were, but they also let those who were really saved know they were saved. You remember the test? The moral test. Do you really walk in light? You say you're saved, but do you walk according to God's will? The moral test, the social test. You say you're saved. Do you love God's people? You say you saved. The doctrinal test. Do you really believe the truth that Jesus is the Son of God? And those tests weren't to get them to doubt, oh, maybe I'm not saved. Those tests were to give them an assurance that they could know that they're saved. I've written these things that you could know you're saved. You know, there is such thing as a false assurance. Let me tell you what a false assurance is. A false assurance is having assurance without passing the test. That's a false assurance. Well, I'm saved. You know, I've had people tell me that, and you know, we're living in a climate. The first thing I want to say is don't judge. But, I've had people living in open sin say, well, I'm saved. That's a false assurance. And you know how I know it's false? Because they can't pass the test. They don't try to walk in light. They don't try to follow God's word. It's kind of like a DNA test. A DNA test may show that somebody, that's not their parents, but it can also show that those two are their parents, right? And the test that John gives can show that we are genuinely saved. But I want you to notice, what is it about passing these tests that gives assurance? Because these tests show that you have a changed life. Isn't that what all those tests are about? You have a changed life. Did you know the greatest assurance of salvation is a changed life? You live differently. You think differently. You have different desires, different values, different goals. Not only is a changed life an assurance to you that you're saved, a changed life is an assurance to unbelievers that you're saved. How do they ever know that you really are saved unless you live differently than they live? The assurance of salvation. Now listen, most of you know this. John didn't just write epistles. He wrote a gospel, the Gospel of John, and he wrote the Revelation. But John wrote the gospel, his gospel, the Gospel of John, so people could believe and be saved. Look what he says in John 20. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So he tells us in his gospel, I wrote this gospel so you could believe and be saved. Now that's the reason he wrote the gospel. But why did he write the epistle? He said, I've written these things so you can know you have eternal life. So the gospel was written so you could believe and be saved, but he wrote his epistle so that you could know that you're saved. Have the assurance of salvation. I'm glad for assurance tonight. Maybe next time we sing Blessed Assurance, it'll mean a little more. Amen. You know, I wasn't going to tell this, but I will. Maybe you're not aware of it, but Fanny Crosby wrote that song, Blinded at the Age of 5. Spent her life blind. And what happened, there's a songwriter, her name just left me, I didn't know it, but said, hey, I got a tune for you. She didn't have no words, so she sat down and wrote a tune, played the first few bars of a tune, and turned to Fanny and said, what did you hear in that tune? And just like that, Fanny Crosby said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. And right there, just without hesitation, spilled out the first verse of Blessed Assurance. You know, how did that come out of her soul? Because she had it. She had it. And just hearing that tune for the first time, she spilled out those words. Secondly, tonight I want to talk about the assurance of prayers being heard. And this is a confidence that we have in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have that we desire or the petitions that we desired of him. If we could go back to verse 14 for just a moment, look how this works. If we have the assurance that we're saved, we can also have a confidence when we pray. Doesn't that make a difference when you're praying to know that you're saved? An assurance of salvation is a confidence when we pray. Now, I want you to notice very carefully here. This is the confidence that we have, what? In him. The way to have confidence when you pray is to have confidence in him. Our confidence when we pray is not in ourselves. Some people say, well, I deserve to be heard. Huh? That's why I can have confidence in my prayer. I deserve to be heard. I'm a child of God. And I deserve to, I've been doing so well serving God. He'll hear me when I pray. No, that's confidence in yourself. Some have confidence in their prayers. You know, they've really learned how to pray. Whew. Boy, I sure prayed a good one. He's got to hear that one. That was a great prayer. That's confidence in your prayers. Boy, I laid out a good case. I mean, I pled my case well. That is confidence in our prayers. And some have confidence in their faith. I'm a man of faith. I'm a person of faith. I believe. That's confidence in your faith. So some have confidence in themselves. That's not what this is talking about. Some have confidence in their prayers. It's not talking about that. Confidence. You know how you can have confidence when you pray? Confidence in Him. Our assurance is in Him. Our prayers are heard not because of, or I should say my prayers are heard not because of who I am or how I have prayed. My prayers are heard because of who He is. And if you could take one thing home tonight, take this. God is more eager to hear your prayers than you are to pray them. Did you hear me? God is more eager to hear your prayers than you are to pray them. Our confidence in prayer is our confidence in Him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Now, I want to look at this because it says this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Next verse, verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Some of you have already done this. You've already been thinking about, well, John just said, whatever we ask of Him, He hears. And we're going to get it. Isn't that what he said? Is that what he said? And you know, the question is, one of the biggest questions we'll have as a Christian, why does it seem that my prayers don't always get answered? Let's be real honest. Time for honesty. This is one of those honesty surveys. How many's had that pass through your mind and heart many times? Why don't my prayers get answered? Right? Especially when you look at scriptures like this. This is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. And we hear these verses and we say, wait a minute, it don't seem to work that way with me. Well, I want to explain that just briefly, or talk about that just briefly. But we must not fall into one of three erroneous traps. We see verses like this, we pray, and it doesn't seem like there's an answer. We must not fall into one of these traps. The first trap is, well, there must be something wrong with God then. That's a bad trap to fall in. My prayers didn't get answered. It's got to be God. I've heard people say, I'm just angry at God. He didn't do this, and I asked Him to. We cannot fall in that trap. The second trap is to always think there's something wrong with me. I'm not talking about your pastor, but talking to yourself. There's something wrong with me. My prayers didn't get answered because there's something wrong with me. He just said, I've written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. He's saying, you're saved. You're saved. There's not something wrong with you. Another trap is to fall in is to say, well, it really didn't work like the scripture said it worked. To say there's a fault was with the Bible. The Bible didn't really say it right. But look, John said what he said. We can have a confidence that He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, then we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I think if we go back to verse 14, we see the big qualifier here. You know, people sometimes read the scripture without the qualifier. How many sees the qualifier here? And this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He heareth us. You see, our prayers shouldn't be about what we want for ourselves. Our prayers should be about what God wants for us. See the difference? Our prayers shouldn't be about what we want for ourselves. Our prayers should be about what God wants for us. Amen. You see, prayer, sometimes we see prayer as trying to bend God's will, talk God into it, convince God, persuade God. Prayer isn't about trying to bend God's will, to ours. Prayer is about bending our will to His. You know, I'm convinced that usually the answer to prayer is a change in us rather than a change in our situations. Think about that. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. The confidence is that if we ask His will, He will hear and answer. I mean, someone said, well, look, just because it says he will hear us doesn't mean He'll answer. No, that's not true. The word hear means hear and answer. He's attentive. How can a father really hear the need of their child, a real need, and not meet that need? He hears and He answers according to His will. Jesus prayed this way. He said, Lord, I really don't want to face this cup. I don't want to face this death. I just don't want to. But what did He pray? He said, nevertheless. What did Jesus pray? Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Amen. That's the confidence. We're asking according to His will. Why then does it seem like sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers? I want to emphasize this, and I'm only going to be a few more minutes, but I think God really does always answer our prayers. The trouble is we have already conceived how we want them answered. We have already come up with the answer we desire and anticipate for our prayers. Someone said to me, you know, can you explain to me why God's not answering my prayers? And while I said that, I said, well, number one, I think God is. But secondly, if God explained it to us, it'd be like trying to explain trigonometry to a one-year-old. And I'm not trying to down this, but His ways are not our ways. He knows the end from the beginning. He sees the whole picture. He knows the ins and outs. So let me try to give you a few examples that might answer that question. Let's imagine, and some of us won't have to go back as far as others, but let's imagine you're 12 years old again. And your bicycle is a heap of junk. And so you're at Walmart, and you're in that section with mom and dad, and there's a bike. Oh, it's a beauty. And you start begging your parents, buy me that bike, please, 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 please. You know how kids go, please, 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 please. Mom, dad, oh, please, if you love me, you'd buy me that bike. And they look at you and say, no, no, you're not getting that bike. Now, I could turn that a lot of ways. But that kid's going to leave Walmart saying, I got the meanest parents in the world. I need a bike. My bike is junk. I prayed and prayed and asked, buy me the bike, and they didn't. And what that kid doesn't know, he's got a birthday in 2 weeks, and they've already bought him one and have it hidden out in the garage. You know, we're that way with God sometimes. You know, we just say, God, why didn't you answer this prayer? Why didn't you answer this prayer? And we don't know how He's worked. We don't know what He's done. A child has a peanut allergy. Young child, and he can't understand why mom and dad won't buy him Reese's peanut butter cups. Go somewhere and they got a dish full of them. I want one. No, you can't have one. Why doesn't that parent give him what he asks? And on we go with examples. Let me give you one maybe for the adult world, but the job looks so good, so much more money on the hour. God, please let me have that job. And you don't understand. Somebody else gets the job. Well, God knows the company. And He knows the company is going to go belly up in about 6 months. And He knows that once you get the job, they're going to start demanding that you work every Sunday. You'll never get to be in the house of God. He knows if you get that job, work every Sunday, you're going to go cold in your soul. Your family's going to suffer. Your children's going to... See, God knows all of that. Right? And you know, I think one thing we conclude as we live, sometimes we lift our hearts and say, thank God you didn't give me everything I asked for. Oh, Howard Hendricks, you know, that Sunday school teacher, he used to tell that. He said when he was in college, there was a young lady he was stricken with. He got down to business praying, oh, God, let her like me, let her marry me. Oh, God, help us to date. God, I want her to be my girlfriend. He said, God never answered that prayer. He said, 20 years later, he saw her, and he just said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But it says, if we ask according to his will, he heareth us. He gives us our petitions. And so, without any more illustrations, let me try to put it this way. If we will ask, God will give us what we ask for, or he will give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything he did. Can I say it again? If you ask God in sincerity, he'll give you what you ask for, or he'll give you what you would have asked for if you knew everything that he knew. Amen. Aren't you glad you can put your confidence in him? In him. This thing of assurance, people used to ask for it. They used to seek God for it. But assurance is not something God wants to keep from people. He wants to give it to them. Even tonight, you can leave here not only being saved, but with an assurance that you're saved. And I want to ask this question. I always want to leave some type of challenge. But is there any reason you shouldn't have assurance? Is there any reason God can't give you assurance? Believe on him. Trust him. Have a life that is hard after him, and he can give you that assurance. Amen. Would you stand tonight? Music, would you come? I'm not going to get us to sing Blessed Assurance, but I hope next time we sing it, something different will be in our hearts. These things have I written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. Next Bible study, we'll talk about some of those petitions he said that we can have of him. Praise the Lord. Would you come tonight and pray and say, Lord, I not only want to believe and be saved, I want the assurance of salvation. Would you come and fill these altars tonight? God bless you.